This is an interview with John Padilla for the Youngstown State University Oral History Program regarding Romanian culture in Mahoney County by John Montine at 1932 East Midlothian Boulevard on February 26, 1976 at 7 o'clock p.m. Could you tell what part of Romania did you or your parents come from, sir?
I was born in Kerpiniș, Romania.
Now, where is that located in Romania, sir?
In Transylvania.
Transylvania. Were your parents born in that same area also?
Yes.
How old were you when you came to this country? Do you have any idea?
Well, I was born July 4th, 1912. We came to this country in April 1914.
I see. So you don't remember too much about Romania at all then?
I don't remember anything about Romania.
Did your parents ever tell you about how it was like in Romania, or the typical day was like in Romania at all?
Well, there were vineyards or what they did as youngsters and all that. And, I don't recall.
Did he ever mention about the way that people lived over there? Were they farmers in that area in Transylvania?
Yeah.
Did they have their own farms or?
Well, they had a plot of land that they worked.
I see. And was it like a farm set up over here? Or did they live in villages or what?
You know, they lived in the village. And they would go and they would have like a vineyard in the.
By the way, back. We were saying that we had a vineyard. I see. Did you ever mention anything about their school in Romania or anything?
No.
What motivated your parents to come to the United States?
Well, they were choosing a way to make a better living, I guess.
Did you ever mention from what sports that you heard about the United States as being a place to make a better living, sir?
Friends and relatives that have visited here, or come here, they write and tell them that the United States was the place to be.
Okay. So in other words, this was their promised land, so to call.
Yeah.
When your parents came to this country, did they ever mention about having a difficulty in coping to the American way of life? In other words, changing?
Yeah. Yes, it would be, I mean, when I was a youngster, I remember, if you weren't well, I mean, didn't know the language real well, people would make fun of you. I mean, would call
you know the American English?
English, yes. And now we lived in a neighborhood that was, they had many nationalities, and people poke fun at each other.
Was this in Youngstown, sir?
Yes. That's the only thing I remember about it, Youngstown, because I haven't been away from it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, when you were a youngster and growing up in Youngstown, the community, Romanian community, offer anything in the way of social gathering or anything, sir?
Yes, we had the church, and we had the society, the Romanian society, down on Old Avenue. It used to be the Nidash Kukadu Romanian society. And they would have programs, and they would have dancing, and the church would have all the church services.
What kind of dancing you would have in that place? What is the American type of dancing or Romanian dancing?
Romanian type of dancing. Of course, as the years went by, the young people generally learned how to dance in American type dancing.
But well, who taught them how to dance? Romanians tried to dance over
there. Oh, they brought it back with them. They've got it with them from Romania.
Well, did your parents teach you how to dance? Or was it that you just picked it up from acting? From other children?
Seeing the people dancing, you did a favor. And students were grouping. They still do.
I see. Did they have any other type of entertainment, or was it just something?
Well, they had plays and singing and dancing.
Were the plays that they performed, Mr. Padilla, was it performed in Romanian, or was it performed in English?
Romanian. Okay. Romanian comedy, acting and performing.
Did people dress up for that, or were they dressed up in their usual American
costumes? Romanian costumes. Or make the people Romanian costumes.
Oh, I see. At those places also, do they have food?
Yes. They would have banquets and dancing and play the program.
Now, do they have anything that would be, you might consider Romanian type of dishes?
Yes. Romanian type food. They would do them. The ladies that belong to the organization would pitch in and that's where they learn how to make Romanian.
Now, during this time, was there a Romanian Orthodox Church in the city of Youngstown?
During the time I remember, yes.
Where was it located?
On Wilson Avenue.
Could you describe that church a little bit for us, which you could remember?
Well, it was not too big a church. And as the years rolled by, we raised funds, and we raised the church and put a hall underneath there.
This is at Wilson Avenue?
Yes, that's Wilson Avenue. We put a hall, a social hall, underneath the church. And all we have is programs. We have the choir organization with the music, and the young people would meet. And Father Tanella would conduct classes in Romanian language classes at the church.
Now, that church itself on Wilson Avenue, do you know if that church was a house that was converted to a church, or was it built near the church? It was built at the church. And was it wood brick or wood framing? But where at on Wilson Avenue was it located? Do you have an idea?
Well, there's there are two churches on Wilson Avenue, on the left-hand side, I mean, on the right-hand side, going from Himrod Avenue.
Himrod,
yeah. And there are two churches, and one is a Syrian church. And our church was the next church on the corner. And of course, there's a church there now, but
some other nationality
boy has converted the church. They built a large structure.
Now, was there any residence for the priest at that church at all?
Yes, they had a residence right across the way.
Across the street then?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. And was that specially built for them, or was that...
No, they bought an old one.
Now, at that church, were there any seats for people to sit down inside?
No. In those days, they didn't have seats. They had seats along the edges.
That's
what they would call strani. Seats along the edges with the, armrests.
That's it.
And the people that were good supporters of the church would sign up for these seats at the beginning of the year. They would pay for the privilege of sitting there, and every Sunday they had their own particular seat.
Now, I know in the present church you're part of our auditing treasury system, and they have envelopes that they give to people now. Did they have envelopes in those days, do you recall?
I don't think so.
So in other words,
Father Stanilla probably started it, but I don't think we had envelopes at that time. We would have the collection of plates. Well, I mean,
yeah, because right now we have the envelope in which you put your donation, you could like that, what would you give
in those days at the beginning? I mean, I don't recall it being envelope.
It probably was more or less open plate collection. In that church also, did it resemble the way the present church on Wick Avenue looks, sir? I know the icons would be the same like that, but was the structure basically the same? In other words, do they have in the back for a choir?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, we had an attic. We had a choir loft at the back of the church.
Was there any hall in that building?
Well, we lift up the grade of the church and put a hall down the basement.
Hall in the basement.
Yeah.
Now, is that where the Sunday school would have met? Do you recall anything about Sunday school? Did you attend Sunday school at that time? Did you recall?
It wasn't Sunday school. It was school that we would attend on Saturday.
Oh.
You would have learned about religion and about speaking the Romanian language and about writing the Romanian language.
Now, the people who did not sit along the edges, where did those people go in the church?
There was a stand in the church.
And they were stand completely?
That's right. And later on, though, then they start putting benches. But at the beginning, they all stood up, except the people that had the stanage that they would pay for a certain amount of year each year. And so-and-so would sit here, and so-and-so would sit there, and so-and-so would sit there. And then, of course, if they were absent, and then so on, when the congregation would go and sit there in their place. But ordinarily, they would come and sit.
Now, still, this is during the time of you being a young adult and more or less in the transition to a young adult. Did the church itself have any kind of activities to provide for the children other than the Sunday the school itself, the main school itself, and those plays? Did they have anything to
do? No, well, the church didn't have the plays.
Or was the society then?
The society.
Oh, so it was the church, in other words, was a focal point of people just meeting.
That's right.
But the people themselves had their Romanian culture that they still attended to. In other words, it wasn't like today, the church is more or less of a focal point for some of the people who want to keep the Romanian tradition.
Well, in those days, the people that... Well, there was an Orthodox Church and a Catholic Church. The Catholic Church, the Byzantine Rite Catholic Church, was on Prospect Street, where it still is. And, of course, our church was on Wilson Avenue. And the people from both churches belonged to the society.
Oh, I see.
See? And they would have the entertainment or cultural program. In other words, we'd have plays, we'd have banquets, and we'd have dances at the society.
Now, most of the banquets that the church has today is to raise money. Was most of the banquets at that time to raise money, or is it more or less
well,
to have social gatherings?
No, they would have a banquet to raise money also at those days. In other words, they... we had a few staunch leaders of the church, mm-hmm. and they would strive and struggle to get more money together. So if we wanted to move from there, we would have an opportunity. And then that's how come we went to Canada. They found out that the Orange Mansion was available for us.
I see.
And they did us a tremendous favor. Now that property, at our last appraisal, it was worth something like $300,000.
You mean the present property now?
But when we got the property, we got it for $15,000.
Oh, really? Was there anybody occupying that house at that time, or was it deserted?
Well, no, it wasn't occupied at the time. It was empty. It was occupied a short time before that, but then they didn't need it because they had this home and that home. Mm-hmm. They had the, whatchamacallit?
Arms Museum, where you said?
No, well, no, no, they had this other that used to be that music school.
Oh, you mean by the dinner?
Yeah.
Oh.
They used to occupy
that. Oh, that belonged to the Arms School?
From what I gather. I didn't know them personally.
I see. Yeah. When they acquired this residence over here on Wick Avenue, the remaining people, that is, Mr. Deva, did they tear the place completely down, or did they use some of the same structure?
A lot of the same structures there. Same original structure. We put the tower in front.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be a little orthodox replica,
yes,
of the tower. And then we added the church hall in back.
But what about where the present church is, where we hold services and all like that? There were rooms there. Didn't they just tear those completely out?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. As a matter of fact, there was a, what do we call, there was a ballroom.
There was? Gee, it must have really been a big place.
Oh, yeah. They had a ballroom, and they had a lot of different rooms, and it was all heated by fireplaces.
Hmm. When they worked on that place, sir, did they have a master plan to follow that was set up by the place, or by the committee?
No, we had a committee at that time. And then we had a higher... an architect by the name of R.C. Russo.
Oh, I see.
And he's the one that designed what walls to tear, what walls to remain, what walls to reinforce, what ceilings to reinforce. He designed it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was also instrumental in getting the artists that painted our murals and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They came from Pittsburgh or somewhere. I don't know where. And they painted our, and we still have the same painting.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've repainted between these designs. We've repainted by master craftsmen had taken the time to paint because it was darkening and stuff. But the original design is still there.
Now that wood that's by the altar, I always marveled at it. Is that the original wood from there?
Well, that was the original wood from that mansion.
But, and then you just carved it then?
Yeah. No. It was carved. It was bedroom suites and so on and so forth.
Oh.
And we took the, right? Well, woodwork well, or bedroom suites, or bedrooms, you know. I mean, for example, they had ornate beds, or they had various walls were trimmed in this beautiful wood, and we rescued it from there and used it for the altar.
So who was the priest during this transformation from Los Avenue to Wick?
Father John Stanilla.
I see. Now, when this was going on, was the services done in Romanian or in English or a mixture?
Romanian, strictly Romanian at that time.
I see.
As the years rolled by, though, we were becoming slowly Americanized, so you would give part of the services in English.
Mr. Padilla, when people moved, the church, not the people, I should say, the whole congregation, when they moved to Wick Avenue, you mentioned that at Wilson they didn't have any Sunday school or anything like that. Did they start a Sunday school then at Wick Avenue?
Yes, I think so.
Where did they hold it at? Do you have
any
recollection?
Before we built the downstairs, to remodel the downstairs, we had Sunday school in the in the various rooms. Like, for example,
you mean in the social
vestibule?
Hall?
Yeah. In the, oh, there were two. Where was the two rooms?
In the alcove.
Oh, in the alcove. We had two rooms where they had the Sunday school.
Oh, I see.
And then we remodeled and we built a Sunday school downstairs.
Who was downstairs prior to this remodeling?
Just an old basement.
Just an old basement?
Old basement, yeah. As a matter of fact, we spent a lot of money to dig it deeper.
Oh,
okay. To get headspace. We couldn't lift the church because it was too mammoth a job. But then we had it excavated by contractors, and they excavated the floors.
It must have been pretty fun.
Recall just what it was, but I know it was better. But Mr. Tom Finka was the one that was the money man of the church, and he was a real contributor. And it was through his guidance that I guess we made the progress we did. Of course, there was a lot of other people, but he was one of the staunch supporters.
In regards to this church on Wick Avenue now, over the years there probably has been many changes. Have you seen any changes that occurred in this church?
What do you mean by changes?
Well, as years go by, things naturally have to change. Because there's the older people get older, the younger people become a little bit more mature, and things like that.
Well, yeah, we had changes. We had some pretty hectic times there sometimes. Some people believed in doing things this way, and some people believed in doing things the other way. And maybe if you were on the side of Father Stanella when he was a priest, you believed in his way of doing things, you backed him. Now, if someone didn't believe that you should do it that way, hey, they would give you a bad time. And that's how it was through the years.
Were most of the changes in a sense of trying to keep the Romanian heritage or trying to Americanize the activities?
Well, no, there was never a question as to the way we should abandon the American, I mean the Romanian heritage. No, there was never a question of that. But it used to be, some people would say, well, doggone it, we should have him give the services more in English, and so on and so forth. Well, what's our kids going to do? Because the kids are abandoning the church, and as our kids grew up, it was going elsewhere. They would be married, they'd marry a girl of a different nationality, or the boy would marry the girl would marry a fellow of a different nationality, and they would abandon the church. And the argument was that if we didn't convert to more Romanian way of doing, I mean, rather American way of doing things, we were going to lose young people. And hey, it still happened.
What do you contribute to the thing that has caused such changes? Is it the news media now and the way young people see things? Or in other words, during when this church was built in, what, 1945, I think, I guess, or something like
well,
that?
You mean on Wick Avenue Church?
Built around 1945. You say that most of the services was done in Romanian. And I presume that you still had some of these plays and activities going on in for people to socialize Romanian life.
Yeah, well, it would, the plays were in the society, in the Romanian Hall, where we had the plays.
And that's,
and of course,
where's that located, yes, sir?
Oh, on Poland Avenue, right where the bridge crosses.
South Avenue.
I mean, you know, that Hemlock Avenue Bridge crosses. That's where it was located. But then, of course, we had plays. We rehearsed plays down at our church. and we put them on at the Romanian Hall.
Do you think that if there would be another Romanian Hall, that might aid in bringing back such things? I know our church has tried to do some of that in their limited facility space over there. But do you think if they had something like this, it might help to bring some of the Romanian people who still go to your church in Prospect Street and our people back together a little bit?
I think so. If they had a large headquarters, you know, I mean large hall. But we never made a success with the hall. See, we had the Romanian Hall, and the only time we had had a doing there was on a Sunday, or maybe Saturday night dance. Okay, but you know, a lot of the now you see they rented the place as a bar, and the Romanians would sponsor the bar to be able to make maintenance money, to be able to keep the hall going. Because they were spending a lot of money, and I mean it takes you have to keep the place heated up and maintain it properly, and it takes quite a bit of financing. So they converted it to that part of it was a bar room where they would raise funds, you know, by having a bar, but they never made out. They never did. But when they moved out there, well, we were left without a hall.
Could you tell us what your position is and has been at the Romanian Orthodox Church on Wood Avenue? You have served in various capacities in which you have been a tremendous help to the congregation.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't done much more than the average person, I guess. But all years ago, I became the president of our, we had a choral club.
I see.
And I was the president of the choral club on Wilson Avenue.
What was the function of this club?
Well, a choir. It was a young people's choir. And in other words, they would come to join the choir, and we'd have social activities.
Would you sing at any special places? Or?
Yeah, no, sometimes we'd sing, sometimes we'd go, maybe sometimes we went to Erie, Pennsylvania, and sometimes we went to Elwood City.
Or would you, in other words, you would sing at these social gatherings?
Yes, social.
Oh, I see.
That's right. No, we'd have plays. We'd have plays, and we'd take the plays over there, and we take the plays over there.
Now, excuse me, one question about these plays before I begin. Were these plays old Romanian plays, or were they plays that people devised now in America?
Old Romanian plays.
So, in other words, it was passing and going back from to your past generation and passing it on to your present future.
Comedy, comedy plays is what they were. You know, in other words, to help. Relieve your mind of the worries of the day is what they were. And people came from miles around.
They were written down, I think. People would learn these parts or would be
No. The plays, for example, they would take and type plays. So and so has got this part, so and so has that part. And they would rehearse them. And in Romanian language. Comedy or whatever it was. And people from miles around would come.
Were people charged to go and watch?
Oh, yes.
And they had
to see. They would come to the dance.
Oh,
they would come to the play, and then there was a dance afterwards, and they'd come from miles around to see them. And it was lighthearted.
We're missing something now. Because we have a TV, but TV isn't everything.
No, those plays were okay, but it all depends. And some people, you know, how they feel about a person is, they were done but a bunch of stuff. You know. Hey, look, if you don't enjoy it, you don't get in it. Seriously, but it was enjoyable.
Could you tell us anything else regarding your role in church?
Well, and like I say, I was present at 4 o'clock, and we moved to the cabin tonight. Then I was in the service at the time. And then we moved to the cabin, and then I was active in there, in the choral club there. And then, of course, I became vice president of the council, and then I became president. And I gave it up.
Who was priest during that time, sir?
Father Stanley.
Father Stanley, I see. And was this during around in the 50s, sometime in the 50s, late 50s?
At 50s and 60s.
I see. Could you tell us a little bit about how it was like that time? Do you recall anything regarding the church itself? What was the outlook at their church then? Did they have any, were they thinking of the future at all, or were they more concerned about what was going on right
well,
then
there? Well, we were thinking of the future. We were thinking of, let's say, we have a parking lot there now. Years ago, maybe, about 15 or 16 or 20 years ago, I was scouting around and to find out who owned what property and if it was for sale. And I talked to the people that owned the property behind us, and they said they would rather let us have it than the college, because they didn't care for the college, so they would rather let us have it if they were ready to sell. Okay, so the year went by, and the poor lady died, and then her son sold us the property, Walker Estate.
Oh.
And then we bought Woolridge, a property next door. Mm-hmm. And we rented apartments there for quite a while, or rather for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And then we decided, well, it's about time we, because we were having difficulty parking across the way.
I remember you used to park out on the street too.
So it's, then we got a president that was pretty good at that. And
how did you raise the money for this? Was it, did you have a special fund for it, or did you have?
Well, the church funds. The church funds. So we for example, we pitched in. We had contributions from the council. Well, so and so gave $100, and I gave $100, and so and so gave $100, and we had. Number of people gave $100 to start the fund rolling. And of course, then a lot of people contributed, $25, $35, $50, you know. And then we had a treasury that we took the money out of the treasury.
So in other words, the remaining people were thinking of the future and were willing to pay
for debts to help the future. Well, that's right. That's right. We, for example, I tried to scout around to get those buildings removed, and I contacted the fire department, and they had a committee of the firemen, the captains from the fire department. So they came there, and we met with them about setting the places on fire to burn them down, and the fire department would. Have these recruits that are on wanted to join the fire department. The recruits would come and fight the fire. But you see, they felt that the smoke and flame would be so severe, and the people on the north side would complain. So we had just about sold them on the idea, and they'd changed their mind.
So you had to knock it down then?
So we had to knock it down. We had to. It cost quite a little bit of money to knock them down. But we just about had them sold
Well, who did you rent those apartment houses to? Was it college students at that
time?
Yeah,
college students. And as a matter of fact, one of them still has us in court.
Court? May I ask why?
Well, you see, we rented the apartments. There were 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 4 apartments we rented out at that time. Then we decided finally to give them notice by registered mail, 3 months notice or 6 months notice, that in 6 months from now, we will start tearing the apartments down. Well, some of them refused to pay the rent after they heard that.
Oh my.
And so I took them to court. The council authorized me to do it because my job was collecting the transcript from the apartments. And I took them to court. And one fella called me and he says, "Well, John," he says, "you want to get come up and pick up this money?" He said, I had intended to pay you, but I couldn't. So then I got the rent from the other fellow, and I had rent for the other fellow. But this one fellow, I would see him time and again. I was on church property, and I would see him, and he would be watering his plants on the flat roof there. So I would get in the car and run over, and knock on his door, and he wouldn't answer. So his rent was past due. So I was going to talk to him, say, "Hey, well, about taking care of your rent, or are you moving?" Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't answer. So we tried to contact him.
Did you go to the police then, sir?
Right.
Did you contact the police then, or what?
No. Then I brought it up to the council, and I said, "Hey, this guy." We went and knocked on the door, and we saw the curtains. He looked at the curtains, but he didn't answer. So then finally, he left on about the 17th of the month. By the way, his door was locked from the 1st to the 17th. And then the doors were wide open because he took his stuff out. And I don't know where he'd lived in the meantime. But I would see him watering his plants, see. I didn't know whether he was living there or whether he wasn't living there. Well, but still. And then we took him to court, and we went through the routine of small claims court, to the routine of having him notified to, you know, pay his rent and stuff. And he didn't want to do it, evidently, because finally I found out where he worked, because he used to work in town. I found out where he worked, and we stopped his pay. The court had went through the routine. You go through the routine, they say, well, they notify the guy. Mm-hmm. Then they give him the second notice, and then the third notice. And then, if he don't answer, then they attach his wages. And he owed $100, is all he owed. Mm-hmm. They attached his wages, and they took $67 out of his pay, and they said that they would take the rest out the next day. And that's when he's
took you to court.
Took us to court.
It's still pending in court, then?
Well, yeah, we got a hold of Sorkin Beckett. You know,
he's remaining lawyer.
Yeah. And we were talking to him about this case. He said, "Well, John," he said, "I'll be glad to defend you in the church." I said, "Well, hey, before you do that," I said, "I want to know what it's going to cost us, because if it's going to cost us a great deal of money, hey, we can't do it, you know." He says, "John," he said, "if it's for the church, it won't cost you a cent."
That's right.
So he took us to court, and I appeared at the court, and it was given to Judge Crisden.
For former mayor.
Yeah. And Judge Crisden listened to both sides of the argument, and Sophie and Peckett presented his side, and they questioned me and all, and the judge would decide, and it's been months.
He still hasn't decided, sir.
He hasn't decided one way or the other.
Oh, my.
See what I mean? And you can't prompt no judge.
No.
No, hey, listen, if he'll decide, he'll decide. And he's been meaning to, but he didn't get a chance to. Or maybe he's studying the case. I don't know. But still.
So we have gone through quite a bit of changes then. Controversy a little bit, you know.
Yeah. He was suing us for $2,000 because it was... We created a nuisance with him and his employer.
Did he get fired or something?
No. But you know, he was embarrassed. He was embarrassed that we had the nerve to take him to court.
Oh, I see.
See?
Was he married?
No. He's still there.
Is he still a student, do you know?
Huh?
Is he still a student, do you know, or has he passed on?
He's still what?
Is he still a student at YSU?
No, he wasn't a student, though. He used to be a student, but then he quit, and he worked for Lums, you know, the lunch counter downtown. He worked for Lums. And then he got a job working for... And then there was a couple. They weren't married to each other. They were going by two different names. And, it didn't make no difference to us, as long as they were decent and pay their rent. See?
Right.
And the man owed $95. And he kept putting it off. Then he said he paid me. He said he sent me the check. Of course, I didn't get a check. I says, well, what bank did you go back to? Which he means that he didn't. And he quit school. He was on a scholarship in his mistress or fiance or something was on a scholarship. And they left town in order to avoid paying $270 or $80 to the day left.
Well, is there anything else that you have observed in your tenure? We're working for our church, sir, because you just described something here that is quite interesting.
Well, no, I'll tell you one thing. Is the church, the college wants to rent our parking lot.
Yes, sir.
And they made us an offer of $100 a month. Yes, and we couldn't consider it. No offer. And also, there is a right-of-way. If you noticed, on the right-hand side, at the back, there's a chain there. Mm-hmm. There's a right-of-way that we have to have access to that. And we notified the college that they better not build on that property to block that right-of-way because it's a perpetual right-of-way. And they wanted to buy the right of way from us.
You mean the right of way to go to that street?
Yeah. Easement. It was a right of way Bryson Street to the property that we had where the apartments were rented. Now, that was a permanent right of way that was created years and years and years ago. It's a right of way, see? And it was part of the contract originally. Probably the one part of the deed, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see that there was another property that was available for sale, and I tried to talk to people in our council about getting the property. And
what property was that?
Well, I don't know. It was an elderly lady on the left hand side of our parking lot.
Oh, yes. And it would be by the Jambor someplace. That building that's right behind is the Jambor.
No. Yeah, but not the building that's the left of the Jambor. The Jambor. If you're looking at the Jambor toward Bryson Street, well, it's the left hand side of our driveway. And it was available for us to buy, and the lady would have preferred to sell it to us. But hey, these guys didn't want to buy. We could have maybe made a deal with the college. If we'd have bought that, we would have maybe could have made a deal with that Jambor.
Sell to the university.
Trade. See, for example, if we'd have bought that, then we could have traded the Jambor for that property, but the college bought it. So the Jambor is in the way. Of course, it's their property, but it's...
Well, they're going to be tearing that Jambor down,
no doubt.
And they're going to be making other facilities. I don't know if it's going to be part of that sports complex they're talking about or not, but they are going to tear it
but
down.
You see, now, then we have to go to court to fight them on account of that right of way. See,
Oh, you mean for that sports complex?
Oh, well, whatever it is, they're going to use the jam. For example, say, this is Bryson Street. Mm-hmm. This is the jam bar. This is our parking lot. This is our right of way. See?
They would not use that road there.
Well, wait. Oh, well, they, if a sport complex, what's the sport complex going to be? Is it going to be mighty small just to take the place of the jam bar?
No. The sports complex is supposed to be by Fifth Avenue up in that area, up over there. But I don't think that they'll be tearing that street or Bryson Street down. I don't think. I could be wrong. But I don't think that they will be tearing it down.
No, but I'm talking about the jam bar. You see, if they tear the jam bar,
yes.
What could they do with the space? It's limited.
Yes, sir.
Okay. To when you face the jam bar, to the right is our parking lot.
Right.
See? To the left is our right of way, next to the jam bar.
Oh, I see.
See? It goes to where our chain is.
Oh, I see. You mean that chain over there that's by the jam bar, I see.
That's right. Oh, see? Now, they bought this property. They own the jam bar property, but they can't build a building to encompass that
not
area.
Not your parking lot.
Not unless they get an easement from us for the right of way.
But
we're not going to give no easement.
They would probably have to tear part of your driveway down for something like that structure.
Well, what do you mean part of our driveway?
The parking lot. Because the building facility would not be small, it would be a gigantic building if they were.
Well, hey, they can't. Hey.
Well, that's not the opposite I mean.
No, but I mean, that's our property. Well, they can take us to court, maybe, and force us, but I don't think they will.
Do you think that our church, the Romanian people, would be interested in buying that property from them if it would be available?
The jam bar.
The jam bar.
Oh, yeah. Because we would be interested, because the jam bar sticks.
Mm-hmm.
In.
But then you would expand the parking lot.
And we would expand the parking lot.
I see.
But the reason we didn't consider leasing it for $100 a month is because what would happen if we have a funeral? If they lease it for $100 a month, they have right away any time. If you have a funeral, that's tough. They're going to use the parking
lot. Right. Then you won't have any place for
Well, what's the purpose of having a parking lot?
Right.
Except for funerals or for church services.
Right.
See what I mean? So that's the reason we didn't want to, you know. And now, the year before, we had an old-timer was a custodian there. He rented to students.
Oh, I see.
We split with him. But then the man got too old and he quit.
Mr. Padilla, is there anything that you would like to bring out that we haven't covered at all regarding Romanian culture or the church or anything at all that you could think of?
No, I don't think so. I think it's a going concern, and lately we had all a little bit of friction arose about things at church, but I think it's getting good now, pretty well.
Do you foresee in the future that the church will retain its Romanian image, or do you suppose that that image and heritage would have to be taken over by the societies? In other words, to keep it going for the future, sir.
It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell. It all depends. The church is a pretty big organization in this town, our church. And we have a tremendous following. We could get more following if we work it right. We have lots of new prospective members and lots of people that have dropped out that are coming back.
Well, should the church try to bring
have become a melting pot itself of many different nationalities and just be an Orthodox church, or do you think they should keep some of that heritage to remain going?
I think, frankly, if it's a Romanian, I mean, in my opinion, I think that they shouldn't lose that Romanian heritage. I think they could all become Americanized to where they have services in English every other Sunday or every Sunday part to part.
But do you think they should keep some of that Romanian in the service?
Well, it all depends. You see, I can understand the English language.
Yes.
All right. But a lot of people can't too well. But they are passing away.
You may not understand the Romanian language.
Yeah. And then, after they're gone, what's the use? See what I mean? You can still have Romanian language. See, you can still have Romanian language to, you know, for example, we had Romanian classes. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are interested in Romanian. They weren't interested in Romanian for years, but they're interested in Romanian now and learning more about it. So I don't think that they'll be able to do away with Romanian altogether.
Okay. Now, sir, Professor Ehrenhardt, who's in charge of this program, many times listens to these tapes. And should he come across a question that I omitted to ask you or bring up or something, and he asks that I follow up with a short interview, another interview, would you mind if I would ask you a few other questions, sir?
Well, I don't mind, as long as it don't get me in a hassle with the college.
No.
Or in a hassle with the... Well, with the future of the church, because we don't want to...
Well, this is not the intent of this tape.
Well, you know,
No, sir. People, the hassles are created by the people, and I'm positive that Dr. Ehrenhardt understands that, and people listening to that understands that there are many different variations of viewpoints, and as time progresses, I'm pretty sure it will be ironed out to the benefit of both the university and the church itself, because I believe sincerely that the university does want to keep some of the old heritage going, which are some of the old churches. We're not the only church in Wicatney, but there's other churches too. Thank you for the interview, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.